Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Ches. We are holding on daf Yud Zayinim Beis. We're at the Mishnah and Yud Zayinim Beis. So the Mishnah teaches us five separate halachos that are related to each other. The basic concept of the Mishnah, there's a brand new sugya, we're done with the Yud Ches Tavar. The basic concept of the Mishnah is a discussion about malachos that you put into action on Erev Shabbos, and the malacha actually happens on Shabbos. Sounds very familiar to us because we have such a thing called a Shabbos clock, where we set something up before Shabbos, and the malacha happens on Shabbos. Obviously, in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, they didn't have a Shabbos clock, but they had other examples where something is done Erev Shabbos, and that leads to a malacha being done on Shabbos. Whether this is or is not a good precedent to figure out what the halacha is of a Shabbos clock is a discussion in the poskim, but let's see what the Mishnah has to say. First, if let's say you're soaking something in order to dye it, so you're not allowed to soak it in the dye unless it's going to be soaked completely before Shabbos starts. Even though it's going to go into Shabbos and it's going to be coloring the material on Shabbos itself, you could set the process in motion before Shabbos. That's machlokas number one. Number two. If you have flax, bundles of flax, and you put it in a tanur, in an oven, in order to whiten them, in order to purify them, so you're not allowed to do it unless it's going to happen. Everything's going to happen. It's going to heat up completely before Shabbos. That's the shita of Beishamai. And when you put wool into a pot in order to purify it or to whiten it, also you have to make sure that everything can be done before Shabbos. Ubeis Hillel Matirin, but Beis Hillel says, no, you do it all Erev Shabbos, and then whatever happens on Shabbos happens on Shabbos. You're not doing anything once Shabbos arrives. It's happening by itself, and that would not be a problem. Third machlokesh, Beishamai Omrim, Ein Porsin Matsudos Chaya Va'ofos V'Dagim, El Kadeshi Tzodim Yibaldiyom. You're not allowed to set traps before Shabbos unless an animal is going to be able to be trapped when it's still Friday, before Shabbos begins. Well, Beis Hillel Matirin, Beis Hillel says, no, you could set the trap before Shabbos, and if the animal gets trapped on Shabbos, that's not your problem. That's happening all by itself. If you look at Tosfos, Elel B'Kadeshe Yotzodu, says Tosfos Vim Tomar, Mino Yoda Masa Yava Achaya. How do you figure that out? How does a person going to know when the animal is going to come to get trapped? So he says, "V'yeshlomar the Yerushalmi Mukula beporish bechorshin the Mitzuyin Sham Chiyusa umari beinian zeh shlo yuchalil kol b'matzuda elechro beis da mamol sheyatzud mibaldom yochalatzur gami shechashecha." So he says you have to really narrow the case down a little bit. You have to say that we're talking about a case where it's that there are lots of animals around, and there's a limited amount of room in the trap. Because if there's a tremendous amount of room in the trap, and even if an animal comes in before Shabbos, another animal could come in on Shabbos. Even if several animals come in before Shabbos, more animals can come in on Shabbos. So then what difference does it make that you've already trapped before Shabbos? You're going to be doing another malach of trapping when Shabbos starts and more animals come in. So we must be talking about a case where there's a lot of animals around, and therefore you know that some of these animals are going to come in before Shabbos, and there's not going to be any more room in the trap for animals to come after Shabbos starts. The previous Tosos also has an interesting point. In Porsin Matsudos, says Tosos, Afagav de Bishabbos Nami, Impirish Matsuda Enochayev Chatos. Tosos says, well, wait a second. Let's say I put out a trap on Shabbos. Not where I go and I catch an animal and I actually grab the animal and catch it and lock it in a room. But I put out a trap. I put out a mouse trap or something like that on Shabbos. Am I chayev a korban chatos if an hour later a mouse walks right into the trap and gets trapped? Did I do a malach of tzeda? He says, no, even if you put it out on Shabbos, you're not chayev chatos. It's not a nisadar raisa. Sheini yodea im yatsudim lav. Because you have no idea when you put out a trap if an animal is actually going to come in to the trap or not. Mikol makom gazru lifros mitzuda depamim asil dechi of chatos kigon shabashas prisaso yilkod. Yisod. He says, nevertheless, they still made this gezerah, according to the Beis Shammai, that you're not even allowed to put out the trap on Erev Shabbos, because sometimes it could come to Nisadar Raisa. If you're putting out the trap on Shabbos, it could come to Nisadar Raisa. If there's an animal right there in the moment you're putting out the trap, the animal right away gets caught. But it has to happen miyad, it has to happen right away, in order for it to be the real Malach Adar Raisa. So this Tosfos is leads to a major discussion in terms of how to define the Malacha of Tzeda. What does Tosfos mean when he says that it's only going to be a Malacha of Tzeda if the animal's right there and the animal comes in right away? So the Magen Avraham Tzim Shin Tes Zayin Sifkat and Tes, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reishon and Beis, and in Siman Shin Tes Zayin, Magen Avraham writes, HaPoris Metzudo B'Shas Prishaso Nichnas Chayil V'Tocha Chayiv Avlim Nichnas Acher Kach V'Tocha Pater Avalaser Shen Yodeim Yotzin Imlav. Pashut reading of Tosos. If you put out the trap and right away, miyad, without any delay, an animal comes right in, that's the Malach Daraisa of Tzeda. But if you put it out and then a little bit later the animal comes in, that's only Yisud Rabbanan, that is not the Yisud Daraisa of trapping. Says the Magen Avraham, V'nirali d'me haitayma asalam b'Shabbos ha-Metzuda latzad b'achbarim. You're not allowed to put out a mouse trap on Shabbos, because mimanavshach, if something comes in right away, if a mouse comes in right away, you violated the Yisud Daraisa. If a mouse comes in a little bit later, you violated an Yisud Rabbanan. But you're not allowed to put out the trap either way, either midaraisa or midrabanan with the mouse trap. That is the sheet of the Magen Avraham. The Avnei Nezer in Sim Kuf Tzadi Aleph says that, no, when it comes to putting out a trap, there are three different levels that we need to talk about. If right away, and based on this Tosfos says, if right away the animal comes in and becomes trapped, so then you're going to be chayiv, it's going to be nisadar raisa. If you're doing it in such a way where you know for sure at some time over Shabbos an animal is going to come into the trap, but you don't know which animal, you don't know when over Shabbos, but you know that by putting this thing out at some point over Shabbos some kind of animal is going to come into the trap, then it's Pater Avalaser, because you're going to be each animal that gets trapped is a separate chiyuv, and you know that you're going to be trapping something. Now, if you don't know if it's going to trap at all on Shabbos, it's a suffix whether anything is going to come into this trap or not. So then it's mutal chadchila. So what if you have a mouse trap where you're not so infested that you know for sure mice are going to come in? So then, according to the Avnei Nezer, mutal chadchila, it would seem. Chazanish, however, has an entirely different understanding of Tosos. Says the Chazanish in Siman Lamed Vav, Ein kavanosam lechalik bin miyad lebin liachar zman. Tosfos does not mean to distinguish between when the trapping happens right away or the trapping happens a little bit later. Shari afilu miyad at seid nasas mikoach achaya umali miyad mali liachar zman. Meaning, even when it happens right away, are you doing the trapping? You put down a trap. How does the animal get trapped? By stepping on the thing, and then the spring comes down, let's say the old-fashioned mouse traps, and then the thing comes down and traps it. So you're not the one that's doing it. The animal's koach is what's doing it, even when it's miyad. So he says, that mistaver to be mechalik between miyad and liachar zman. Elo de b'shas prishaso haynu kol zman sheprusa mikri shas prishaso haynu shemeskayma maisa prisa. He says, rather, when Tosel says that at the time that you are pores, that you put out the trap, the animal comes, you're going to be chayv, that means so long as the trap is still put out. Even if you put it out an hour ago, 2 hours ago, so long as it's still put out, that's called you putting out the trap. And he says he later saw the Magen Avraham, or just reads Tosla straight as being a difference between Miyad and Liachar Zman, but he says Tzarechiyun, he doesn't understand how you could, what you can call Miyad, what you can call Liachar Zman. So he says maybe according to the Magen Avraham, you have to say that you're actually still holding the trap in your hand, but comes out according to the Chazanish, if you know that it's going to trap something on Shabbos, even if it doesn't happen immediately, it's an Issa Doraisa. Whereas according to the Magen Avraham and according to the Avnei Nezer, if it's going to happen, Liachar Zman, even though you know it's going to happen, it would only be an Isser Midrabanan. So that is the discussion over here, how to relate to the Isser of Tzeda. But again, this is it's a unique example, but it's another example on the list in the Mishnah of things that you set up before Shabbos, and then the Malach happens on Shabbos. Shabbos. And the reason it's a unique example is that really none of the malacha happens before Shabbos. By dyeing the cloth, the process starts before Shabbos. By tzedah, the animal doesn't even have to be in the vicinity. It's going to come on Shabbos, so the process doesn't even really begin before Shabbos by tzedah. Okay, so let's see weiter. I think there's an Aruch HaShulchan or something. The Aruch HaShulchan says that this is the derech of the melech of tzedah. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that melech tzedah is different than all other melechos, that even by grama it's chayev, because that's generally the way tzedah is done. It's usually done by grama. It's done by setting up traps. It's not done by doing it actively and actually getting the animal right away. If you can lunge for the animal and grab it right away, the Gemara defines that as not tzedah, meaning then the animal's considered already nitzot. It's only if you'd have to do a lot of chasing, so you don't want to do a lot of chasing. Most of the time, the way they trap animals is they set up traps. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan said, tzedah is different than every other malacha. Okay, fourth case, that Beisham and Beisal argue in our Mishnah, last skinny line, Beisham Yomram Ein Mokhul Nachri, Vein Etan Enimo, Vein Magbina Love, Elekadeh Sheagia Lamakam Karov. Shouldn't sell to a guy, nor should you help him load up his the kelim onto the donkey, nor help him load it up onto his shoulders, unless he's going to be able to get to a close by place where he's going to be able to wherever his destination is close by, that he'll be able to get there before Shabbos. Beisil Matir, and Beisil says no, it's not a problem. The fifth machlokes, Beisham Yomrim, Einos and Oros the Abdon, Velo Kelim Lakovis Nachri. You're not allowed to give hides to a tanner or clothing to a cleaners, a non-Jewish cleaners, Elikadeshi Asumi Baldiom, unless there's enough time for him to do the job before Shabbos starts. Ubukulan Beisil Matirin and Mashemesh. In all these cases, Beisil says you're allowed to do it as long as the sun is still shining. You don't have to cheshbin when he's going to be able to get the job done. As long as it's still Friday, you're allowed to do all these things. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel, Noag in Hayu Beisaba, Shoynosin Klei Lavan Lekoves Nachri, Shloshe Yamim Kodem LeShabbos. He says, in my father's house, we had the minhag that we would always give we'd make sure our dry cleaning pickup, or we would drop off stuff at the dry cleaner, Dafka, 3 days before Shabbos, because we wanted to make sure that he has ample time to get it done before Shabbos. Meaning, seems to say, we were machmir for the Beishamai. So that's what Tosfos Yontif asks. Wait a second, we had a Mishnah in Brachos that Rabbi Tarfon put himself in sakana by being over Divrei Beisil and being makbid for the Beis Shammai to lie down during Kriyas Shema, even when he was on the road, and that put him in harm's way for the bandits that were on the road. So and the Gemara said, the Mishnah said that he deserved what he got, in the sense that Dama Barosho, he risked his own life, and then we criticize him for that, that it was not appropriate to risk his life to follow the Shita of the Beis Shammai, that it's better not to follow the Shita of the Beis Shammai, we're supposed to follow the Shita of the Beis Hillel. So Tosfos Yontif says, no, over here it's different. It's Shevi Al Tase. It's just not giving in the dry cleaning on Friday. So it's Shevi Al Tase. It's different than actively doing something like the Beis Shammai, not like the Beis Hillel. Or it could be the Tiferes Yisrael and the Yachin Boaz Mishnaya says, no, even the Beis Hillel be moda, that it's a nice thing to do to make sure that, to give it a few days in advance to avoid the issue entirely. It's not like the case of lying down for Kriyas Shema, where the Beis Hillel held that, no, the taich in the pasuk is not that you're supposed to lie down at night and sit up during the day. Taich in the pasuk is however you feel comfortable, however you want to do it. So they held that it was a corruption of the pasuk to do like the Beis Shammai. Over here, the Beis Hillel will be very happy. You want to give in your cleaning stuff on Tuesday? Good, gesundheit. Beis Hillel has no problem with that. So over here, there would be no issue with being machmir for the shita of the Beis Shammai. V'shavin elu ve'elu, shetan and koros be'sabad, v'gulei agas. And everyone agrees that you're allowed to set up the beams on the olive press or on the wine press on Erev Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to deal with in tomorrow's daf, as Rashi points out in the third skinny line over here, Uba Gemara Parach, Maishna Delo Pligi Beishamei Baha. Why doesn't Beishamei have a problem with this? After all, it seems to be the same thing. The wine is still going to be dripping out of the press on Shabbos. The oil is still going to be dripping out of the olive press on Shabbos. But for whatever reason, we'll get to tomorrow, the Beis Shammai has no problem with this. Now, Tosfos over here quotes a Shita of Rabbeinu Tam that he quotes in a couple of places in Shas. in the bottom tells us, Mikano Yinu Rabbeinu Tam. We said that you're not, that Beis Shammai holds, you're not allowed to give your leather to the tanner, your clothing to the cleaners before Shabbos, and Beis, unless they have enough time to do it before Shabbos, and Beis Hillel says it's okay. Mikano Yinu Rabbeinu Tam, Lahatir Alide Kablonus Nachri Livnos Beshabbos. Let's say you have a non-Jewish contractor working on your house. Can you continue to work on Shabbos? This shaila comes up all the time. Comes up Shabbos, Yontif. Shabbos usually, people know that they tell the guy, don't work on Shabbos, and the contractors know they don't want to work anyway on Shabbos. But Yontif comes up all the time, right? It's especially when Yontif is the middle of the week, like it was this year. People have a job going on, so can you have them continue to work? So Rabbeinu Tam held Mikano Yeniru Rabbeinu Tam. Some of the Achronim are Medayik, but over here he says Mikano Yeniru Rabbeinu Tam. In other places where Shitas Rabbeinu Tam is quoted, says Mikan Hitir Rabbeinu Tam, which sounds a little stronger. That Rabbeinu Tam was actually Matir, not that it was just a svari thought of in the Beis Medrash, but he was Matir to have the contractor continue to build on Shabbos. Why? How did he get it from here? Because over here you see that Beis Hillel is Matir to give the clothing to the dry cleaner on Erev Shabbos, even though you know he's going to be cleaning it on Shabbos. So he's doing the work for you on Shabbos. You're not paying him to do it on Shabbos, you're paying him to do the job. He chooses to do whatever he wants. So a kablan, it's got to be a contractor. If you pay him by the day, and he shows up on Shabbos, and you're paying him for that day of Shabbos, so then vaday tzas, so you're not allowed to have him work for you. But if you're paying him for the job, and it's whenever he chooses to work, if he wants to work on Sunday, he can work on Sunday. He wants to work on Shabbos, he can work on Shabbos. So in that case, Rabbeinu Tam held its mutter, very similar to this. And Rabbeinu Tam had other rayas. Va'od mevi raya merechayim deshari beisel libid Rav Yosef b'gemara dematirin laniach sham chitin mibod yomeni chenukal haShabbos. That according to the Beis Hillel, you're allowed to put wheat into a mill to grind, even though the grinding is going to happen on Shabbos. And over there's no guy involved. It's just your kli that continues to do the malacha that you set into motion. And still Beis Hillel holds that mutter. So kal v'chomer, when you have a guy involved, where he's the one doing all the malacha, so Rabbeinu Tam thought that was for sure mutter. And then the third raya he brings from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where Meshum Gamliel maskir adam sadeu l'nachri, my time aris arisuse kavid v'achinami, v'kablanuse kavid. That you're allowed to rent out your field to a nachri, because the aris is doing his own job. He's doing it for himself. So over here also, kablan is just doing it for himself. That is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Four lines before the end of the page. V'nira l'ri, says Tosos, Dahad d'shari b'shmait d'noros la'abdin, Hainu b'talush, D'lo mefarsim amilsa, Sha'a nachri osa melacha b'beiso, V'lo yadishu shal Yisrael. He says, no, you can't bring any raya from our Mishnah to a case of a contractor. A contractor works on your home. Your home, everyone knows, is yours. Everyone passes by, walking on their way to shul, they see the guy working on your house. So they know that it's a Jewish home that he's working at. When you give your clothing to the cleaners, so he's not working on anything. When people don't see him working on your home, it's nothing that's so evident that it's yours. You give your car to the mechanic. So a lot of people drive whatever make or model car that you have. Although when I was taking a trip with my kids over the summer, we were in Virginia or something, and my kids said, I can't believe there are from people here in Virginia. I said, what are you talking about? They said, we see a Honda Odyssey. So they assumed that it's got to be from people. So but it turns out that there are some non-Jews also that drive a Honda Odyssey. Rav Shaft always gives the example. What if the car says has a big menorah on top of it and says Mashiach is coming or whatever? So such a car at the mechanic is going to be much more noticeable. So that maybe would be a problem. That would have the same din as the bias, according to the Shita of the Ri. I wonder, what if you have all these stickers, that people stick on the back of the cars, with this day camp and that camp and this school and that. So it's not still the magnets, right? The car magnets. So maybe that would make the car a recognizably Jewish car, and maybe a problem to have the mechanic work on it on Shabbos. You may have to remove those magnets before. I'm not. Maybe halach l'maisi. We want it's better to remove those magnets before Shabbos. Okay, so let's see the Gemara. Mantan and Nesinas Mayim L'Diyozu Ishriyasan. Who's the one that holds that putting water into the dye? That's called Shriyasan. Now Shriyasan over here, the soaking, the issue we're assuming is that it's going to is that it's going to be, you have liquid and solid coming together as one mix, which is a violation of the melacha of lisha, of kneading. So just putting it together in the same bowl, that itself is a violation of kneading it together. Rav Yosef Rebihi, that's the sheet of Rebbe. Ditanya, echa nosin es hakemach vecha nosin es hamayim, ha'achron chayiv divrei Rebbe. What if you just put flour and water into a bowl? You don't touch it, you just put it into the bowl. So says Rebbe, you're chayiv for lisha, and if one guy puts the flour in, the other guy puts the water in, whoever put the last ingredient in is the one who's chayiv. Rabbi Yossi amreinu chayiv ad sheyigabel. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not lisha, that's not kneading. Kneading is when you actually mix it, when you actually work it with your hands. So just putting it into the bowl would not be the chayiv. Amalei Abaye v'dilma ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yossi el bekemach de bar gibel hu, av diyo v'lav bar gibel hu, emel chayiv. Wait a second. Maybe Rabbi Yossi, who says that you're only chayiv when you actually need it, that's only by flour, which is something that's normally needed. But diyo, a dye that's supposed to just seep into the to the liquid and then become one unit on its own, maybe you should be chayiv even if you don't actually work it with your hands and you just allow it to soak. Says Gemara, lo salgadai tuch t'tanya. Echa nosin es ha'efer v'echa nosin es ha'mayim, ha'achron chayiv divrei Rebbe. If one guy puts ashes, now ashes are not a bar gibul, it's not something that would be normal to work with your hands, still Rebbe says the achron is chayiv, and Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Yudah Omer ad she'egab. Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Yudah still says, no, you're not going to be chayiv until you actually need it with your hands. So we see from the case of Afer, which is more similar to Dio, to the ink and to the dye, that even if it's something that's not a bar gibel, you're still going to be chayiv only if you're megabel it, only if you actually work it with your hands, according to Rabbi Yossi. Says Gemara, how do you know if Dilma my Afer Afar the bar gibel hu? How do you know that Afer means ashes? Maybe Afer refers over here to dirt, and dirt is something that is a bar gibel that you would work with your hands. It says Gemara Vatanya Afer, but no, it says ashes. But Vatanya Afer, it also has a brisa that says dirt. So Midi Gabi Adadi Tanya, the two brises aren't mentioned together. So it could be, as Rashi says, one of them was taught by Rabbi Chia, the other one was taught by Rabbi Yoshia. One of them uses the term Afer when it refers to Afer, but really it could be that they refer to the same thing. Tan Rabbanan. You can open up a water passage into your garden right before Shabbos, and even though it will continue to fill up your garden with water, meaning it's going to be watering your garden on Shabbos. There's a shaila people often ask about the sprinkler systems. So we have our sprinkler system set up on timers. A lot of people have a set up on a timer. So usually when you set up the timer in advance, very easy to just set it up that it shouldn't go on Shabbos. But when Yontif falls out during the week, you know, it's a bit of a hassle to remember every Erev Yontif to shut it off or to adjust the settings every, to adjust the when it turns on, when it doesn't turn on. So is one obligated to make sure that the sprinkler does not turn on Shabbos? So this relates to the timers issue in general. How closely related are these halachos to the halachos of timers? Now, on the one hand, this seems a little bit different, a little bit better than a timer, because over here you're doing some melacha on Erev Shabbos. You're actually open, the water's beginning its descent into your garden on Erev Shabbos. Whereas with the timers, nothing is happening on Erev Shabbos. There's nothing, no part of the melacha is happening on Erev Shabbos. For that reason, Rav Moshe was very against timers in general. He didn't like the idea of using Shabbos clocks for anything. He said, for lights already, the olam is makel, so there's nothing I could do. I can't fight it. But for everything else where it's not mukubal to use timers, he gives the example of air conditioners, he said, so we shouldn't use timers for such things. It doesn't seem that Rav Moshe's opinion was accepted for air conditioners, but it was accepted for a lot of things, meaning we do try to stay away putting our whole lives on timers, because he said then Shabbos will be mamish like a weekday. He said if they had such a thing in times of Chazal, they for sure would have asked it. That's Rav Moshe's approach toward timers. But is it technically a violation of any melacha? Probably not. So they used to burn some sort of spice or incense underneath the clothing to give the clothing a nice smell. So the smoke would come up and would give the clothing a nice aroma. So you're allowed to put it on under the kelim on Erev Shabbos, and even though it's making its impact on the kli, on the clothing, on Shabbos. Umanichun gafris tachas hakelim umuskafrin v'halchun kol Shabbos kulo. You could put sulfur underneath silver kelim, that they would burn underneath silver kelim to make the engravings on the silver kelim become more clear, more sharp. So you're allowed to do that on Erev Shabbos, even though it's happening all Shabbos. Umanichun kilor agave ayin v'spalonis agave maka. You're allowed to put ointment on the ointment on a person's eye or some sort of medication on a wound. Umeshabes v'leches kol yom kulo. Even though the refuah is going to happen all Shabbos long. Says Tosfos, wait a second. Vim tomer hadam perek shmona shratzim. We're going to say later in this masechta sharon kilur erev Shabbos umanichun tachas ha'ayin. Bishabbos, v'im kein b'shabbos nami shori l'niach. Our Gemara says the eye ointment, the eye medication you're allowed to put on Erev Shabbos, even though it's going to be healing your eye on Shabbos. Makes it sound like to put on any sort of medication on Shabbos would vada be yasser. That's the yasser gzerim shum shchika sabmanim, that a person is not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Yet, the Gemara later on is going to say that you're allowed to put the eye ointment on Shabbos. Sounds against this Gemara. Says Tosfos Yeshlomer del Kaman Mairi, very big Yesod, but Adam Bari ve'eno maniach ba'ayin l'refuah el atachas ha'ayin l'tanu. He says big difference. When a person is treating an illness, that's the issur of taking medication on Shabbos. If a person is healthy and takes pills or takes some sort of medication maintenance of his health, but he's what we would call, let's say, a machal briyim, something that a person eats when he's healthy, so that is not going to be a violation of the gezeira mishum shchikas hamanim of taking medication on Shabbos. So let's say vitamins that a person takes, let's say a person during this time of year takes vitamin C because he believes it's going to help him prevent colds and seasonal whatever people battle this time of year. So it's a machal brim. He's not taking it because he's sick. He's taking it because he's healthy. They never made a gezerah. Chazal never made a gezerah. Mishum shchik sammanim. What's a gezerah shchik sammanim? That you're going to be so desperate for the medication. If you don't have it, you're going to grind it up yourself and make it. But if you're healthy, you're not so desperate for the medication that you're going to come to grind it up yourself. It's only when you're ill. I will discuss more about the issue of taking medication on Shabbos when we get to those sugyos. But that's just this ha'ara of Tosfos. You're not allowed to put wheat into a water mill on Erev Shabbos unless it's going to be totally ground up. It's going to finish its job before Shabbos starts. My time. The reason is the mill makes a lot of noise, and you're not allowed to have something making a lot of noise in your property on Shabbos, says Rashi. It's a bizayin to Shabbos to have such things working in your house on Shabbos. So if you have non-Jewish help in the house who is asked to clean up around the house, so for her to let's say use the vacuum cleaner, so even though she could sit there picking up each piece of whatever's on the floor by hand, so using the vacuum cleaner is only for her own convenience. So in terms of malacha, maybe it wouldn't be a violation of Amir La'akum, but Avsha Milsa, it certainly is. To have noisy machinery working in one's house on Shabbos would certainly be a problem of Avsha Milsa. Many of the poskim held that when dishwashers started coming out on timers, where you were able to set the timer in advance before Shabbos, that was one of the issues, that you can't load the dishwasher on Friday night and have it on a timer that it's going to turn on, let's say, at midnight, because the dishwashers make noise. Av Shemilsa. Now they have very, very quiet dishwashers. Dishwashers barely make some of the dishwashers barely make any noise, but there may be other issues, because you're actually doing something on Shabbos. The dishwasher won't turn on unless you close the latch. So when you close the latch, it could be that that's doing something on Shabbos to be makariv the malacha to cause it to go on. It's a safety mechanism that it won't turn on unless you close the latch of the dishwasher well. Okay, so that's a different issue. Amalei Rav Yosef, Elema Mar Mishum Shvisas Kelim. Wait a second, it's all because of Avsha Milsa. Why don't you say the issur of having the mill working on Shabbos is a violation of Shvisas Kelim, that your Kelim aren't allowed to be doing malacha for you on Shabbos? Detanya B'cholosher Amarti Alechem Tishmeru L'Rabba Shvisas Kelim. We darshan from the pasuk that there's a thing called Shvisas Kelim. Elo Amar Rav Yosef Mishum Shvisas Kelim. So Rav Yosef says, okay, you're right. The reason is not because of Avsha Milsa, it's not because it's noisy, rather the reason you're not allowed to have the mill working is Shvisas Kelim. Wait a second, if Beis Hillel holds that Shvisas Kelim is Da'oraisa, that there is such a thing called Shvisas Kelim, why is it that he allows the sulfur burning under the silver or the incense burning under the clothing? After all, isn't it a violation of Shvisas Kelim? Your Kelim are doing Malacha? So Mishum Delo Kavid Maisa. He said, no, in that case, you're not doing a Maisa. Oh, it's not doing any Maisa, it's just burning by itself. Onin shel pishtin maitai mashari. So then, why does he allow the bundles of flax? Why does Beis Hillel allow that in our Mishnah? Mishum d'lovid ma'isa umenach naicha. Again, you're not doing any ma'isa; it's just sitting there by itself. Mitzudas chayva of the dogim to cover ma'isa maitai mashari. What about trapping various animals? That's doing a ma'isa on Shabbos. So why does that mutter according to Beis Hillel? Hasam nami. Belechi v'kukri, it's a low covered mice. You have to say it's a type of trap where it's not actually moving and it's not actually doing anything. The animal just walks in. V'ashad amar avoshia amar avasi man tana shvis kelim daraisa be'shamai hi v'lo Beis Hillel. But wait a second. Once we have this statement of Ravoshia amar avasi that Beis Hillel really does not hold there's such a concept called shvisas kelim daraisa, only Beishamai holds that there's a concept called Shvisas Kelim Daraisa. So then it would turn out Le Beishamai Bein Kavod Maisa Bein Delo Kavod Maisa Aser. According to Beishamai, it doesn't matter whether the kli is doing a Maisa or not. As long as a Malacha is being done by your Kelim, it's going to be Aser. Whether it's an active Malacha or a passive Malacha doesn't matter. Shvisas Kelim Daraisa Le Beis Hillel Afal Gav De Kavod Maisa Shari. And according to Beis Hillel, it doesn't matter even if it is doing a Maisa, it's going to be Mutter. The whole reason we want to be Mechalik, according to Beis Hillel previously, between whether it's doing an active Maisa or not doing an active Maisa, is because we were under the mistaken impression that Beis Hillel thinks Shvisas Kelim is an issue. But once we hold that, once we understand that Beis Hillel does not hold Shvisas Kelim Daraisa, so even if it's doing a Maisa, it's permissible. Once we say that according to Beis Shammai, even if it's not doing a Maisa, it's Aser. Ihachi mugmar v'gafres my time is Sharu Beis Shammai. So then why in our Mishnah does Beis Shammai permit the case of the mugmar and the gafres of the, or in the Brisa, does Beis Shammai permit the case of the incense that gives the nice smell to the clothing and the sulfur that helps the silver kelim? Why does Beis Shammai allow it? Hasam manacha ara. Now over there, maybe we're talking about that you're not using any kelim. It's sitting on the ground, so it's not in a kli. Gigas v'ner ukedero ushvud maitai mashar beishamai. What about all these other kelim that actually have malacha being done? So the mafkilu afkure. You have to say now that those cases, the reason beishamai allows it is because you're mafkir the kelim, and therefore it's not your problem. It's not your shvisas kelim. So that's why these items beishamai does not have a problem in terms of shvisas kelim. If you look at Tosas, the mafkilu afkure, in the middle of the page, Avlagav Damar bin Adarm, Dabin and Hefker bifne Gimli, says, what do you mean you mafkir? You can't just be mafkir, just stand like that, say, I make something Hefker. In order for Hefker to be effective, it needs to be done in front of three people. So he says, Hach lo bi'inan, de mistama mafkir lehu, ve'in lus machazel askir, sus l'narkir, the hafkir, the hachashayni, mishum t'lo efshar bin yinacher. He says, yeah, we assume over here you don't need three, because we assume mistama you mafkir. What do you mean mistama you mafkir? If the halach is you need three people to be mafkir, what do we mean mistama? You didn't do it in front of three people, even if mistama you mafkir. So the other Rishonim have a slightly different formulation. The Rashba writes, it's like Hefker Bezdin. It's such a clear thing that you want to be mafkir the kli so that you don't violate Shvisas Kelim. It's like Hefker Bezdin Hefker to save you from the Yisr of Shvisas Kelim. Now the Rambam writes in Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Beis Halacha Tzayin, Mida Raisa, Afilu Hifkir Bifnei Echad Hareza Hefker. This din of needing three people to be mafkir something is a din Mida Rabbanan. Now to be mafkir something, Mida Raisa, what do you need? So Pashtus, according to Tosos, nothing. Just be mafkir. Just say you want it to be hefker. Says the Rambam, Mida Raisa, you only need one person. You only need to be mafkir in front of one person. But it sounds like L'kol HaPachos, if you want it to work as hefker, it does need to be at least in front of one person. Does not sound that way from Tosos over here. The Aruch HaShulchan holds that if you hold Beinu LeBein Atzmo, if you hold that you're allowed to be mafkir on your own, does it help to be mafkir belev? Does hefker work when you just have in mind that you want to be mafkir midaraisa? Or do you have to actually express it? Do you have to actually say it? You have a similar machlokas aposkim when it comes to, let's say, Tosefa Shabbos. A person has a chiv to be mekabel Shabbos early. Rav Silver asked me, how do people in America, he noticed that at the times that all the shuls daven is we daven mincha right before Shkia. So he said, how do people in America be mekayim Tosefa Shabbos? Meaning, what do we do? Because what? We say l'chadodi, and that's our Kabbalah Shabbos, that's way after Shkia. So where's that? You're supposed to be Kabbalah Shabbos 2 minutes before Shkia. So how do we come to Safa Shabbos? So I said, well, what do you mean? We stopped doing Malacha before Shkia. So I said, yeah, but that's Machlok. It's Machlok's Aposkim, but the Mishabura seems to be Machmir, that you need to actually do a Pedibur, that you need to actually say something that you're being Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay, so that's a kasha. But, but you have that issue on a Hefker as well. Does it have to be B'dibur, or does it have to be only B'mais? I mean, only even B'lev would be good enough. Okay, says Gemara Vayta now, 3 lines from the top. Mantan lahadutan rabbanan, who's the author of the following brisa? Lo tamali isha kedera asasios v'turmeisen v'tiniach l'tochatan or erev Shabbos v'chashecha. A woman should not fill up a pot with all different types of beans that are very slow cooking, let's say a cholent that takes a long time to cook, and put it in the oven on erev Shabbos. Vim nastan l'mosay Shabbos asurim b'kadeshi yasu. And if she does put it in the oven on erev Shabbos, then she's not going to be allowed to eat it on Motzai Shabbos, unless you leave enough time that it could have been made all after Shabbos. Kayotze bolo yimali nachtom chavish al mayim v'yaniach l'toch hatan or erev Shabbos in chashecha. Similarly, a baker cannot fill up a barrel of water and put it into an oven on erev Shabbos right before it gets dark. And if he does so, it remains asur on Motzai Shabbos b'kdei sheyasu. You have to leave enough time that it could have all been done before Shabbos. So after Shabbos, rather. So lema beishamai hivlo beisilal. Maybe this is all assuming like the sheet of the beishamai that holds the shvisas kelim, that the issue is that your oven is doing work for you on Shabbos and it's not going like the beisilal. But we who pass like the beisilal would have no problem with leaving the food cooking over Shabbos in the oven. Says Gemara, no, filu tema beis hillel. We're even assuming like the beis hillel. This price even assumes like the beis hillel. It's still going to be asur. Why? You can't leave food cooking on an open flame on Shabbos because we're afraid that if you see that it's cooking too slowly, you're going to stoke the coals, you're going to try to raise the fire in order to make it cook more quickly, and that's going to be a melacha d'oraisa of mavir and bishul. We don't want that to happen, so it's a gzeira lest you stoke the coals. So if that's the case, why don't they make the same gzeira when it's not food cooking, but when it's burning incense to make your kalim smell nicer? Shouldn't we have the same gzeira? And Beis Hillel was machti that peferish. Says Mar Hasam lo machti lu, di machti salik bu kutra v'kashilu. No, you wouldn't stoke the coals under the clothing, because that's going to cause a lot of smoke, and when it's too much smoke that gets into your clothing, it's actually mazik the clothing. Clothing is going to be smoke damaged. So we're not concerned that you're going to come to do that. Odin shal pishta nami l'gzor. What about by the flax in the oven? Why don't we assume that you might come to stoke those coals? Hasam kibin the kashi luzika lo maglule. Over there, just by opening the oven, you're allowing outside air to come in, and that the air, the wind from the outside, could be damaging, so we're not afraid that you're going to come to do that. Semerli yora ligzar. What about the wool in the pot also on the stove? Shouldn't we make the same gzeira? Amar Shmuel bi yora akura. We're dealing where the pot is already off the flame, and therefore there's no concern of stoking the coals because there are no coals. V'nechla shema megisba. But shouldn't we at least be concerned that maybe you're going to be megis? Maybe you're going to stir the pot. So what does that mean? And therefore what? And what are you going to be in violation of when you stir the pot? Says Rashi, mahapichba ubimavushal have a bishul. And it's therefore going to be considered to be a violation of bishul when you stir the pot and you speed up the bishul process. Tosfos says no, dilma megisba vavit saveya, and it's going to be a violation of saveya, not a violation of bishul. The Sharmitan Balachi quotes Chidushe Alachos that explains that this is Tosos Lashitasan. Because Tosos writes that once something is ready cooked to Machl Ben Drusai, then there's no more violation of Bishul in stirring it. So that's why Tosos says it must be that it's an issue of Tzaveya. there wouldn't be an issue of bishul. But Rashi holds like the Rambam in the ninth parak of Hilchos Shabbos that even once something is mevushal kemachal ben drusai, you're still chayiv for further bishul when you stir the pot. So it's Rashi tells us the shitasam. But either way, why aren't we concerned about this? Ba'kura v'tocha. Now we're dealing with a case where it's off the flame and it's sealed, so we're not worried that you're going to come to do anything, that you're going to come to stir it. Va'ashadam mar gzeira shem yichad b'kchalim hay kedera chayasa shari la'anucha erev shabbosim chashecha b'tanura. Very important halacha in the halachas of Bishul, and that is once we say that the whole reason that you're not allowed to have food cooking on the stove on an open flame when Shabbos starts is that we're afraid you're going to stoke the coals, so we know of the heter to allow for shihia by putting a blech. If you put a blech, so then your chalent's allowed to continue to cook on Shabbos. But says Gemara, an additional heter, what if you have something that will take a long time to cook? There's no way it's going to cook quickly anyway. So by Shabbos morning, for sure it will be cooked. By Friday night, no matter what you do, it's not going to be cooked. So then there's no concern that you're going to stoke the coals, and maybe then it would be mutter to put it up, even on Erev Shabbos, in the oven, on an open flame or something. You don't have to worry about the Isra of Shehiyah. So many of the poskim say, Bizman has said, it's very hard to find something like this. There's no way you're going to get it cooked by Friday night. We have very powerful ovens, very powerful stoves. We could get things cooked if we really needed to, and therefore there's no heter of Keder Chaisa. But other poskim point out, they have something that they market, and they call it a crock pot, a slow cooker. That's how they market it, as a slow cooker. That's dafka, the whole point, that it cooks slowly so that the flavor really gets in, and it's dafka, it's supposed to take 10 hours to cook. It's not supposed to cook very quickly. So maybe that you'd have the heter of Keder Chaisa to put something directly in the crock pot, to put a chalent, let's say with beans, directly in the crock pot right before Shabbos. But it's got to be done mamish right before Shabbos. Maybe that would be the only application we could think of Keder Chaisa b'zman hazeh. So anyway, so my timer. What's the reason? You know you're not going to have it for Friday night anyway. So you're totally masiach das for having it on Friday night. You're not going to think about it. And therefore you're not going to come to stoke the coals. If it's already cooked, so then certainly you're allowed to leave something on the flame. That's the halacha. Shehiyah doesn't apply when something is already cooked, when something is already fully cooked. Bashel v'lo bashel aser. When it's partially cooked, then you have the problem of shehiyah. If it's bashel v'lo bashel, Tosfos points out, meaning that it's not even kemachal ben drusai. Once you hit machal ben drusai, shehiyah's mutter. But if it's not even kemachal ben drusai, it's cooked even less than that, then it's going to be aser to do shehiyah. So that's why it's important. A lot of people don't realize this, that let's say you're not going to, you put the chalent in the crock pot, not the second before Shabbos, you don't have the Kedera Chaisa Heter. So if the chalent is not at least cooked Kemachal Ben Drusai before Shabbos, you need to have a blech on the crock pot. You need to line it with foil or something, do something to make a blech. Otherwise, it's a violation of Shehiyah if it's cooked less than Machal Ben Drusai. Certainly, if you plan on taking some out and then putting it back into the crock pot, then for Achzara, anyway, you're going to need a blech. But even for Shehiyah, if you're just going to take it out and leave it out once you use it, still it's going to be a problem. So it needs to have a blech. If you put in a raw bone that's going to take forever to cook, so then you have the Kedera Chaisa Heter, and then it's going to be mutter. Now, once we say that anything that is bad, that the air is bad for it, and you're not going to expose it, if you have a meat of a goat that's in a sealed oven, a sealed pot, so that's okay. But if it's a larger ram, velosa, so it's tougher meat, velosarik, and it's not sealed, aser, then it's going to be aser. The gadya velosarik, the barcha vesarik, what if you have one quality in one direction, one in the other direction, you have the goat, and it's not sealed, or the ram, and it is sealed, so Ravashi shari Rabbi Yirmi Midifti aser. That's machlok, so Ravashi Rabbi Yirmi Midifti. Well, Ravashi deshari, according to Ravashi, says it's mutter, ain't sol and basar, betzel beitza, elikadeshi et sol mi baudyom. You're not allowed to roast meat or an egg or anything like that unless it's going to be roasted before Shabbos. So hasam debarcha v'lo sarik. No, over there we're talking about where it's the meat of a large ram and it's lo sarik, so that's why it's asur. Others say no. When it's a goat, so whether it's sealed or not sealed, it's going to be mutter. The barcha nami v'sarik shapir dami. If it's a large ram and it's sealed, so then it's okay. Ki pligi de barcha velo sarik. The whole machlokas, if it's a large ram, but it's not in a sealed off oven. The Rav Ashi shari, Rabbi Yirmi Midifti asir. That's where Rav Ashi is going to say it's mutter. Rabbi Yirmi Midifti will say it's asir. Well, Rav Ashi de shari, but according to Rav Ashi, it says it's mutter. Ain't solen basar betzel beitza elikadesh et solen mibod yom. So I, doesn't it say in the Brisa that you're not allowed to roast it unless it's all going to be done before Shabbos? No, hasam bibisa gumri. That's what you're talking about, where you have meat directly on coals. When you have meat directly on coals, it's not even an oven. It doesn't even have anything covering it. So then certainly it's very easy to stoke the coals, very easy to mess around with the fire. That for sure is going to be usur, even according to Rav Ashi. Amar Ravina, hay krachaya, a raw gourd, shaper dummy, given the kashi lezika kibisra de gadya dummy. Since the wind is bad for it, it's like the basar of the gedi, where it's very sensitive to the wind, so therefore it's going to be mutter to keep in the oven from before Shabbos. Okay, Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up from the halachos of selling your kelim to a guy shortly before Shabbos.